I think it's opened my eyes up to the fire structural engineering side of things, and that now that I've really enjoyed working on these projects and learning as like a research-based internship, where I can learn more about how we're making New Zealand better for the structural engineering people. It's definitely got me interested in potentially pursuing a career in fire structural.
Kia ora, I'm Troy, here as Chief Executive, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. Thanks for connecting. If you're new, here's what you can expect. We're going to be talking the tough stuff, the things that keep us metal minds up at night. There are many challenges facing our industry and equally many opinions on how we should tackle them. Stirring the Pot provides a facilitated forum to discuss and challenge these viewpoints.
So let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Today we're having a kōrero with Lydia Freiter. Here is 2022 Whanaki Scholarship recipient and recent summer intern with our structural team.
So you are a Whanaki Scholarship recipient from HERA, and you have done this Stirring the Pot in the past as well. So catch up with where you are in your journey since we last spoke.
So I am currently in my third year of engineering at UC, and I'm still like loving my degree and everything. And I've now completed with the HERA internship two internships, one with John John Steele and now one with HERA. And I think when my decision for my final year next year will be made for where I minor in, so that would be whether I go into structural or structural fire or wherever else it may lead me. And I'm currently still working part-time and just doing what most students do during their days, and definitely looking at doing another internship at the end of the year as my final slot of hours to complete.
Really good to get industry hand-on experience on the live project and being involved with the company atmosphere, knowing what's going on in this industry while you are studying as well. So like you mentioned, you recently completed your internship with HERA. Do you want to tell more about that?
So I did a research-based internship with HERA where I focused on the structural fire engineering side of things, where my work primarily was on like an office space, and I did a lot of work with Excel and modeling of structural members and looking into the New Zealand code for structures and fire engineering, which obviously is great for me to learn and learn how to apply it. And I worked closely with you as a supervisor and Kavir, and I learned how to analyze structures and fire scenarios and a lot of different aspects that come with fire engineering, such as the protection side of things and the durability and how they align with the code and the sustainability side of things, which was really interesting.
So tell me more about you. You have been aware of the structure side of it because you are studying. How was your experience? Like, you had to experience the fire as a hazard and then also the sustainability. How that come up into these projects, and what do you think about that?
I think it's great. I think it's given me a really good foundation for where I take my next steps into professional work. And I think it was great to get experience on fire engineering, as I'm not learning quite a lot about it at the moment in my degree, in my undergrad. So it was great to learn about that area of structural engineering, as well as implementing sustainability, as it's a big thing in New Zealand now to teach engineers that sustainability is now one of our main priorities, and actually to work alongside a new area of engineering and implement one of the new leads for our future was really great experience. And it was really good to see the real world experience on those things that I was all new to.
So in my opinion, and you can correct me, in the university has a course on fire engineering in the undergrads program, but there's nothing on sustainability. So seeing that, how actual construction and design can achieve those things, which is not taught in the university, I believe that's a different experience, like not knowing that what you have studied and looking into it, what New Zealand as an overall trying to achieve and how it has been implemented in the design sector. It's such a different world.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. That was the one thing I noticed through now that I've done 3 years of uni, learning that sustainability is always talked about, but we never really go into depth of how we control in our engineering work itself. And there is, yes, a fire structural paper that we get offered in our undergrad, but that will not be into our final year. And sadly, that is a summer school paper. So I have had meetings with my dean to let that course open up for me, which would mean that my last internship would be at the end of this year. And then next year before I graduate, I would be taking an extra paper in the summer, which is like quite disheartening that they've only let the one way to learn about fire structural be a summer school paper that a lot of students can't take or won't take because I've got other obligations during that summer period. But yes, it would be much better if we could push more for the sustainability to be integrated in all these papers. But obviously, as undergrads, we've got a lot to learn, and we have to learn the engineering before we do engineering with sustainability. So hopefully next year, I'll be able to see more implementation of sustainability in outputs of work.
When you were trying to go for this internship, what were your expectations to go into this role, and how did your experience compare?
Going into the internship, besides obviously being a nervous student, I expected to gain experience with fire engineering for the first time. And as I have had minimal influence from it in my undergrad, and I also hope to improve my understanding of how fire and structural engineering are related to each other in the real world and how they impact how engineers approach problems, which I was most excited to gain. And these obviously go hand in hand. And my experience exceeded my expectations of what I was going to gain, because I got a really good understanding on how structural fire engineering is done, and as well as how it's consciously aware for the fire engineering. And HERA is working great towards making New Zealand much more expanded in the fire engineering department. And it's since I was so fortunate to be able to work with great resources and expertise like yourself, where I can get like a hands-on experience of being a fire structural engineer while also looking at further expanding the industry and looking at my future, which was really exciting. And as well as like being an engineer, your main role is to be a problem solver. And I think I got really good experience because of my more independent work that I was able to learn for myself how to problem solve with other engineers, which is like the best experience I could get, because that's going to be what I'm going to be doing in my future. So it was really rewarding when I was able to complete my tasks successfully and give an output, which was to contribute towards structural and fire engineering, which is what has now going to prepare me to express my findings in a professional way and get prepared to be a problem solver and a good communicator and work with other expertise where I can learn and become a better engineer, which was the best part.
Yeah, you worked on three projects, I believe, when you were interning with HERA. I think one is the HERA intermission tool. And the other one is concrete filled steel tube, where we were exploring the minimum dimensions of it and the steel columns in the firewall. So one by one, tell us about what you feel about the first project, or what you have done and what were you doing in each project, and what did you feel about that?
So I did have three projects that I worked on, the first one being the HERA intermittent optimization tool that we refer to as HIT, where my role was involving using the software HIT used for prediction of effectiveness of the paint in the structures during a fire and how that can relate to cost efficiency, which was really good. I tested 63 cases in the software and showing using different FRR side exposure, different paint coatings, which was really good to get a full understanding of what goes into each section when it's been fire protected. And as well as using the software to show efficiency and costs and in different section sizes that could be used for the same members, but be cost efficient, which is obviously a great thing for engineers. And then I used my knowledge from the 63 cases to expand them to just over 100, I believe, where I tested more section sizes that were incomplete and performed full execution of calculations to do manually to show the reliability of the software and manual like calculations, and then using those calculations to see if I can formulate a carbon efficiency and cost efficiency relationship between the two. So where we could make predictions on how often are we choosing a cost efficient and carbon efficient option when we are implementing this software, which involved writing a report, showing my findings, and presenting what relationship I was able to find. For the concrete filled steel tube, I used the software Sophia for the first time, where I was modeling the thermal and structural side of things to show how we can use particular sizes, which was a 150 SHS 5 section, showing that it can reach and exceed temperatures that we had formerly thought to not exceed, showing the temperature distribution through Sophia and Diamond, and the structural integrity that was outputted, showing that we can withstand structural loads and have fire implemented on that. And that also had to follow a rigorous calculation that was to make sure it conformed with the NZ code 2327, I believe, and to check that through the columns that they can go through higher temperatures, as well as looking at further research papers that prove that similar section sizes can also perform at that FRR rating. And for the last project, I did different protections in cavities for structural members, the hollow structural members to be specific. And this project focused on evaluating the fire resistance of the steel columns embedded in fire-rated walls, where we took three different situations where we had no fire protection, a standard jib protection, and a firewall protection. And then we implemented different scenarios based on exposure levels of that column in the wall cavity. And then we used Sophia again to model the structural integrity as well as the temperature and the thermal analysis on that, which we were able to see how effective these fire protection methods were in the structural side of things and using analysis to determine which is actually more effective for these steel hollow sections and how they compare with different site exposures, so we can kind of understand how far we can take them in a rating and what options are the safest for certain setups for the scenarios of what you're wanting to do with your wall cavities.
Thank you for that. And honestly, you have done a great job. And I'm really, really proud to see here that these projects have reached to the mark where we can confidently say that these things are achievable. Coming back on to the first project so that we can discuss a little bit more about that one. So that was an optimization tool where the tool helps to optimize the fire protection, specifically the intumescent paint, and where you can change the size of the sections and see that by changing the size or the weight, can you save some of the fire protection? So you have done the cost analysis and you have done the carbon analysis as well. You have done, like you said, 63 cases and you expanded it to another 100. So you have done such a wide sample you have. What did you feel about that? Is it helping with the cost or the carbon? What was your feeling about it when you got all those data with you?
Yeah, so from my data, I was able to actually find a lot of cases in sections where savings definitely was evident. And it was really good to know that with the software, it was doing the job of doing a full calculation rundown and showing that if you have a certain section size in mind and you have a certain FRR rating, a site exposure and a paint code and everything, that it can show you different. For majority of the cases, there was a very few cases where there would be less than two or three alternatives, or where there was savings was actually with your original piece. But a lot of them, they showed there was potential savings and some significant amount of savings in the fire rating for that, which I think was really great. And also being able to see that within this, where when you decide to use, whether it's a choice of normal carbon steel or low carbon steel, that there is savings of carbon embedment through each of your sections. And it was a great software to be able to see that there always is going to be an option for other section sizes where cost relations can show, which would be great for engineers if that was your focus, was saving money and not actually following the rigorous of these have to be the section sizes, which I think was really great to see, as well as like seeing that there is now software that can show engineers there is this correlation and other options for sections was really great.
As you mentioned that there is a definite cost saving analysis from all those sample sizes you realize, and there is an inherent, since you're saving the cost, would it be advisable from your side to say that now, since you're saving the cost, you are also saving the carbon as well? And that is embedded into that cost saving, that you are saving the carbon footprints as well. So would you say that as well?
The relationship we were able to find from my findings was that there is a probability that you are saving carbon while saving money, which obviously is the best of both worlds as an engineer, is that you're ticking off two boxes at once using the software. So yeah, there was definitely a relationship that there was times where you'd pick the cost efficient option and you'd be also picking the most carbon efficient as well, or a more carbon efficient option. So yeah, definitely findings in that section. Obviously, without having to consider the changing prices of steel and paints as the years go by, but as what we had found was there was definitely an evident relationship between the two.
great for the engineers as well. So whether your focus is on the cost or on the sustainability, if you use this tool, by achieving one, you are undoubtedly achieving the second part as well. And that's the best part, I believe, with that tool, that you are not realizing that you're not just saving the cost, you are saving the carbon as well. Whether you want it or not, this is going to be a big impact to the world, especially to the New Zealand. And that's going to help us a lot. Yes, yeah, no, definitely. And so, yeah, that was the first project. Coming back to the second one, it was a concrete-filled steel tube. And why do you think that project was needed? And why was there in the start?
Yeah, so that project was definitely needed for New Zealand and also for me learning that there is sections in the code where we are being a bit more conservative in what we allow and what we don't allow. So it was definitely needed to be able to see that we can do certain section sizes as the 150 SHS5 that can perform to what we expect it to. But obviously in the code, it says a very different thing. And our NZ Australian code, comparing to obviously Euro code, where they do allow it, we can definitely learn from these codes and learn from my findings that we can use these sections if
definitely
and with these fire ratings, which is what we want definitely to be able to expand the code and say, and then within that there is the cost saving sides. And if we can do this, this is going to lead a really good way for more ideas to come through to show that we can expand the code, especially at HERA, to say we can do these things and we've shown the research that it's safe and we've shown it that it performs to what we expect to.
And yeah, and the project was the steel columns in the firewall. And I believe that's a big scenario over here where you say, if you have a firewall, it's a two-way rated firewall. Any column in between the firewall, usually there is no provision. It needs to be fire rated. Yeah. And if you put the paint onto it, like the intumescent paint, then you cannot attach any timber to it because the paint needs space to expand. So there is a complexity in the usage of those steel columns, and that wonders people in the construction industry what they could do. Can they use those steel columns in those firewall without having a protection? And if they can, what would be the limit they can use it up to, the what load, and what are the provisions for that? And that is the project. You already mentioned about that you have explored so many possibilities of it. If what you can do it, if you have to do it, how far you can do it, then what is the role of the plasterboards in front of it? And that's a really great method. It's called radiation barrier method, where you are taking an advantage of 13 mil plasterboards, like a normal chipboards we have in our house. You put a column at the back of it. Is the plasterboard helping you? Yeah, we know it don't help much up to, but up to 200 degrees centigrade, if the fire is not that far, that long enough, the plasterboard has the capacity to stand and not let the steel at the back heats up. So that's the advantage we miss in the codes and provisions. So this is what gives people more confidence, like, yes, this research proves that this plasterboard, the advantage of this normal chip standard plasterboard, or if you have fire line, it can go up to 400 degrees centigrade and nothing happens to the steel column. So those are the scenarios, I believe, makes it more confident for those areas. Like, like you can use the hollow steel sections with confidence by having a little bit barrier, insulation barrier in front of them, saying if the fire doesn't go that high, there's nothing to worry about. Even if it goes high, then you have a delay in that fire to reach to the steel, and that gives the more time for the steel to stay there.
Definitely. That was the best thing finding with that project, is that we can have unprotected steel in the wall and have the jib and firewall jib to actually allow some delay in the fire exposure to the steel. Obviously, for high fire rating scenarios, up to like 120 FR, very different scenarios. But for these ones, you definitely showed prominence in being able to withstand structural integrity and the thermal exposure on it.
And were there any challenges when you were dealing in these projects? And how did you overcome these? And how did you navigate your thoughts to overcome those challenges? You want to expand more on that, please?
Yeah, so obviously within the 7 weeks of doing the internship, there was two major challenges for me particularly, and one being definitely my first off, my confidence in my work and being very independent in my work, but also having you there as a person to ask for help and for your expertise on my work as a confirmation. And it was great that you were there to help me and send me back quickly and give me the green light. But it was just more of a time, having a time frame implemented on my work and, you know, always having consciousness on whether I'm doing everything right and to balance good work and on a time frame and making sure that, you know, I'm still trying to learn and everything. But I think the major challenge that I found for all three projects was learning how to use Sophia, which obviously Sophia, it's quite a tedious modeling software. And it was my first time downloading and using Sophia and seeing it for the first time. So yeah, definitely was some challenges, but I think I was able to overcome these with consulting with yourself and other engineers, via structural engineers who have experience in Sophia use, and being able to actually learn from them and make sure what I was modeling was in a real world scenario and that it was accurately representing what we were wanting to show. And it was good having scheduled check-ins to discuss my progress and clarify any issues that I have encountered with either Sophia or any other the small parts of my project. So yeah, it was definitely good to have outside help from other engineers, which is obviously going to teach me in the future that we collab a lot with each other. So yeah, definitely helped me overcome my challenges.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, but I believe it's a pretty accurate software, and I think then the industry would be very happy knowing that there is one but more person out there knowing the Sophia, having a hands-on experience on it. And yes, well done on that, taking over that challenge and overcoming that. And I think that's your persistent efforts as well. Like, no, I want to know this. Although we had many options as well later in the end. Oh, if this doesn't work, let's switch back to Abacus. Let's do this. Let's do the handcuffs. But no, you were very persistent with that. And thank you for that, taking on that challenge. Ultimately, you came out with the flying colors. No, well done. So this is, like you mentioned, this is a 7 weeks internship. If you had more time to this internship, what aspects of the project would you explore further?
So yes, so with my research, I did compile future recommendations with the projects for each one. So for the HIT tool, I believe I would love to explore how different environmental factors are implemented on the coating for the steel and looking at implementing the cost and carbon relationship efficiency parameters within the software to potentially aid those who use the software to have it straight away see their correlation and see if they are picking the cost efficient, which is already shown in the software, that they are picking the carbon efficiency one. So yeah, we'd definitely be able to look further into that, and as well as looking at the errors and what if we have changes in prices and all that stuff in the future, which obviously any software would need to intake. For the concrete filled tubes, I was definitely looking at exceeding the fire rating to see how the structural durability holds up, and definitely looking more into the research papers provided to show the knowledge on the 150 SHS sections and actually using that to show they perform and implementing that into the code, further steps into proposal for that. And then for the steel columns in the wall, my future recommendations would investigate into the alternative fire protection methods and more jib linings and how we're actually being able to expand the scenarios. That could potentially enhance knowledge for suitable scenarios on specific situations once we can prove that the firewall cavity, or not the firewall, the cavity steel can actually go unpainted and perform to our expectations. And then studying the fire performance of them sections and actually seeing what loads can we reach and exceed to with having that structural durability, and beyond testing different fire ratings and exploring the material behavior beyond where the jib has obviously disappeared from further than 200 to 400 Celsius degrees and how that shows as a pattern. So yeah, definitely could be potential to further explore.
Thank you. Thank you for expanding on that one and putting that in the future work as well, because that helps a lot for the HERA and for the research industry out there. So knowing that these projects have the potential And if you expand it more and take all those relays which you have left it there and take it from there, and it would be such a breakthrough in those things as well. And you'll be able to achieve more. And that's the best decision as well, I believe. Like, not just doing the job, it's more like finding out what best can be done more. Yeah, and thank you for that as well. Yeah, this will make it like more easier for the future researchers as well, knowing that this is what it does the job, and from there they can take it on. Yeah, no, thank you. And it was a good seven weeks experience. And tell me more about how this internship experience influenced your career goals. You might have something before you joined the HERA, and now after this, what do you think? What has changed, and how this influenced your career goals or interest?
So I think it's definitely opened my eyes up to the fire structural engineering side of things. Obviously, and now that I've really enjoyed working on these projects and learning, it's definitely got me interested in potentially pursuing a career in fire structural, which I think would obviously at my fourth year next year will determine what area I'll go into, but definitely keeping my options open. And I've definitely enjoyed my experience learning as like a research-based internship, where I can learn more about how we're making New Zealand better for the structural engineering people and the biostructural engineering. But I'm definitely still wanting now to definitely keep my options open. And it's definitely got me interested in not only being potentially a biostructural engineer, but looking more into research and potentially furthering my degree to be able to make more calls and more impact on the code and how we engineer in New Zealand.
Thank you for that, and I hope that these options will help you somewhere and your interest aligns to that, and you have experienced this internship. Is there any advice would you like to give to the future interns who want to work on the similar project?
So yeah, I would definitely say that to be very open and giving everything a try. I think this internship was a really good experience to really push myself out of my comfort, and given that I had very small prior knowledge that I was able to learn as much as I could. And just to have that approach of learning, you are an intern and you're in the stage of your degree and career where you are able to just learn from the expertise, and you're not expected to, you know, perform and outperform everyone. It's more like you're learning this field of work and you're learning from other experience and how this is impacting in the real world, which I think is very valuable. So I think I would definitely say leave the stress and don't think about what your output is, and just more focus on enjoying your learning and being a student and internship engineer while you can. And definitely keeping open perspectives on, because obviously engineering is such a wide, vast career, that there's so much that you can do and your impact is very up to you, which is the best thing about being an engineer.
Well said, Lydia. And thank you for motivating the upcoming interns. And it's such a nicely said. And I hope that that will help the interns who are looking to work on the similar project. And that's a really good thought. Thank you for that. And as you said that you'll be doing one more internship in your final year as well. And so that will complete your degree anyway. So how do you see yourself in the 5 years' time? And how do you think this internship fit to your journey, if what you see in yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, so hopefully in 5 years' time, I'm definitely an engineer. Obviously, hopefully I've come this far that there's no coming back. But I think seeing myself in 5 years, I hope to be in the structural realm of engineering. I think that's where my passion is. And definitely seeing whether that is fire structural or if it's just plain structural, I think I'd be happy in either role. And I think this internship has definitely fit into my journey within the next 5 years, because it's really helping me learn more about where I want to go and actually becoming a beginner engineer and helping me with more real world or New Zealand impacted solutions, which is what we want to do, is we want to make engineering better, which is my passion is to influence and show. So hopefully in 5 years, I'll be a better engineer and more knowledgeable when I go into my first couple of years of professional work. So yeah, definitely have visions of this internship fitting in and helping me be more open to different scenarios and actually expanding my work beyond what is exceeded in the code itself. So yeah.
I like the idea of these internships. It gives the head start to the industry, when you are about to get into the market and start working on a real project, it gives you a head start about the culture of the companies, the projects, how they work on the team culture, and that gives a good understanding of beforehand you move into the companies, although the companies are very different. But yeah, I think the idea of internship is pretty good, and I like that how you have taken that challenge and you have completed all those projects as well, what has been given to you. And Hera was really happy to have you and the work you have done, and very proud work, and thank you for that. It was an excellent work, and I hope, we really hope that you have learned good, like you explained that it was a good time for you being here, and thank you for that. And just a final closing thoughts now, since we are reaching to the end of this year, is there anything else you would like to share about your time here at Hera, about this internship, anything you would like to say?
I just think, like, an overall wrap of how I had such a great experience, and it was so fortunate that I was able to be given this opportunity through Hera and be able to learn from the experts themselves. As an intern, you're thinking you never know what your future holds and what you're going to learn and how it actually impacts. But, you know, I had such an amazing time, and I would have never thought that I would change my perspective on engineering and structural engineering and where I wanted to go and what my work may influence in the future. And it was really great to be able to get that head start, as you said, and before I even enter my professional work, that I'm already prepared for more changes in engineering in New Zealand. So yeah, definitely it was a really good experience, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone that is either interested in structural or structural fire engineering. And also looking at students that are very interested in the studying and the furthering your career through masters or a PhD, where you can actually make those decisions and be more informed on how to make engineering better in New Zealand. So yeah, definitely it was just a great experience.
So there you go. Thanks for joining our conversation with Lydia today. If you'd like to connect more with her, you'll find her details in the show notes. Structural fire engineering isn't just about numbers and calculations. It's about safety, sustainability, and shaping the future of our built environment. Every decision we make, every tool we refine, and every lesson we learn brings us closer to smarter, safer, and more resilient structures. Food for thought till we see you next time. So hit subscribe, and if you liked what you heard today, please like, review, or share with any metal minds you know. Let's spread the word. If today's kōrero has sparked your interest in structural fire design, then you won't want to miss our upcoming webinar on optimizing fire protection in steel structures. Join Mayank Shivastava as he takes a deep dive into the Hera Intermittent Tool, a software set to help optimise fire protection, cut costs, and reduce carbon impact without compromising on safety. To register, check out the details in the show notes.